Good morning. Can you guys hear me at the back? Cool. I hope the coffee is kicking in and you guys are ready for another exciting day. You're at TechEd, yeah? My name is Jai Desai. I work at Microsoft and I'm the worldwide technical specialist for StorSimple in the storage business unit. After 30, 40 minutes or so, Thomas from Eternity, who's our partner, will come on the stage and talk about some of their solutions and give us more details on how that works with StorSimple solution. So the agenda is pretty straightforward and simple, right? Talk about what is StorSimple, what is Eternity. Give you as much details as you need for now and drill down deeper on how the technology works, how the solution is integrated, and what sort of benefits would it provide in your current environment. With some of the chats I just had before the session, I see it's most of you know about StorSimple. Have you heard about it or any background that you guys have on it? Okay, perfect. So what are the current challenges that we've seen, right? I've spoken to customers across the globe in my worldwide role, and the challenges are either I have a lot of storage, which is taking up my infrastructure, and the management is time-consuming, or I have storage from different vendors, and my storage admins are spending time trying to learn the management tools, management utilities, how does one storage integrate with other. Because of that, I go purchase another software solutions and things like that. Because of that, things are getting expensive, time-consuming, and complex. And that is where we developed this solution called StorSimple to help address those pain points specifically. So what is the idea? Typically in an enterprise, you have either a primary storage, then some tape storage, if it's a small to medium-sized company. For large enterprises, what we have seen typically, there's some sort of a primary storage, there's some archival storage, then you do replication for short-term backups, and then eventually move it out to tape. Simple is a storage array, which is trying to deliver four features in a single solution, right? One is guarantee you the primary performance that your application and users need. Second is it has inbuilt archival intelligence, which will ensure the data that has not been accessed gets steered into Azure, and that is where I'll talk more about StorSimple's integration into Microsoft Azure. How do we leverage Azure for what? So primary performance, inbuilt archival, then along with that, the concept of backups, right? Local snapshot, cloud-based backups is fully part of this solution. Because of the cloud-based backups, what we are able to deliver is inbuilt disaster recovery. So what we're trying to simplify is rather than managing multiple storage systems with different management interfaces, one single solution can deliver all of it in one go. So what is the concept, right? As you see the pattern of data, I guarantee you none of us have gone and deleted our emails, right? It's sitting in the inbox and it keeps growing. Same thing for file share workloads, right? Your admins give you a share, you start dumping data, PowerPoints, videos, and that keeps growing. But on a daily or a weekly basis, what typically we do is we work on a PowerPoint or a Word document. Think about your performance review, right? That document is always existing, but you open once a year. Same thing like this PowerPoint. I've been working for this on last 1 week, 2 weeks, and this was what we like to call as the working set data. What has been most frequently accessed is where the access pattern and the performance is needed. Everything else could be deemed as archival for that period of time. The StorSimple solution has three layers of storage. If you look at the graph, right, there is the SSD component, which is how we deliver the performance, right? Your read and writes are always happening from the solid-state drive. As data becomes cold and we are running out of the solid-state drive capacity, we start tiering into the HDD. So the solution itself has two kinds of drives. Once the HDD layer is also full, and there are details coming up in a few more slides, we will start leveraging Microsoft Azure. So that is how we are saying now you don't need to increase your infrastructure. If you are running out of your local storage capacity, we will automatically start leveraging Azure at the back end and give you that expansion, the unlimited growth that you want for certain kind of data set. And this solution is typically, we have seen work great in the unstructured market space, right? File shares, large archivals, media workloads, healthcare, all that have gone and adopted this solution. So let's drill down deeper into what the solution looks like. StorSimple is the iSCSI SAN. So what we need is a front-ending Windows, Linux server, or even your virtualization layer. It could be Hyper-V, VMware, connected through iSCSI to StorSimple, and StorSimple at the backend connects to Azure through HTTP. It's only port 80 or 443 that we need open from your data center out into Azure, because all the traffic is via HTTPS. So the solution is pretty straightforward. It's a 2U array, which would be sitting in your data center and not consuming the space that typically the traditional vendors would be, right? It's an enterprise SAN, which has all the capabilities from redundancy standpoint, and I'll talk about them, and efficient disaster recovery, that we are now able to do disaster recovery on a different site, which could be a physical data center of yours in a different location, or now you could be doing disaster recovery in Azure. You could spin up your application virtual machines, access all the data in Azure, make Azure your DR site if you decide to. We have with certain new features with the 8000 series array, right? One is centralized management. So now the thing I was talking about a couple of minutes ago was more around managing different storage vendors, learning different web UIs, your backup software. What we have done is given you consolidated management in Azure, which can take care of your backups, your day-to-day storage management, and give you the global view for your data center for all your StorSimple arrays across the globe that you deploy, all right? What we have done also is increase the capacity of the local capacity of the hardware. Now, because of that, we are able to support certain workloads like tier 2 virtual machines, SQL workloads now could be used, and there's a section of workloads that I'll jump into also. So what is the centralized management that we talk about? You see the StorSimple manager up running in Azure. It is a service instance that you would go as you log into your windowsazure.com, manage.windowsazure.com. Under services, now you'll see a StorSimple manager. You enable that service, and now you can register your device with that the StorSimple manager, which will allow you to configure all the volumes that you need to all the backups that you need. You do have the role-based access control. So now you just want to give admin rights to certain people to do reporting, or you just want to see have them configure volumes and separate out your backup. All that can be controlled through the Azure domain. The other new thing that we announced with 8000 series is the virtual appliance that you see, StorSimple virtual appliance that you see in Azure. It is nothing but the entire software IP of StorSimple running in Azure. So it's a VM instance you can buy just like any other virtual machine and have access to your entire data set, which is sitting in the Azure storage. So now your physical on-premise applications could be completely replicated in Azure, which could be used for collaboration purposes, disaster recovery purposes, and the example I like to talk about is lawyers, right? Typically, they have a case, and the lawyers would come and say, I need access to this data set, which is 6 months old or 6 years old. Admins would go back, restore that data set, build the infrastructure, and give the right permissions to those lawyers. Now you could spin up the entire environment in Azure until the case is open. And once the case is done, you can just delete those virtual machines and be done with it. So the on-demand infrastructure that you need now could be delivered in Azure, and the entire data set can be moved into Azure through StorSimple. So what are the local capacity? I talked about the solid state drives, the HDD drives, which are part of the 8000 series. The total usable capacity of 15 terabyte and 40 terabyte is what I like to call is we leverage it for the working set data. This is where I was giving the example of the performance, your performance review Word document that you're accessing. So all your users on a daily or weekly basis are probably for a file share workload, unstructured workload, archival workload would typically fall within limits. The key thing to note, if you look at that effective local capacity, the fourth row, we do inline deduplication and compression. So whatever data set is coming to us, we try to reduce the footprint on our local device. So that example is saying if you have a so-called 1x to 5x dedup ratio or a 3x dedup ratio, that local physical capacity would translate to 45 terabytes or 120 terabytes. So now you have enough room just for your working set data, while the expansion, it could be a petabyte of data set where 120 terabytes would stay local and the remaining capacity would come from Azure. We do support 10 gig. That's been a common question that's been asked by existing customers is now, do you support 10 gigs? So we do have 10 gigs available with the 8000 series arrays. It is an enterprise class chassis, right? Seagate is the manufacturer for the hardware. And if you look at the component, that's the back of the chassis. The picture that I'm showing is the back of the chassis, which has active and passive nodes, right? And these have dual batteries, NVRAMs. The drives are in their own RAID group. So SSD and HDD are in their own respective RAID group. So any component could be replaced online. So if it's a single drive failure or a power supply failure, controller failure, you could actually do a hot swap on any of these components. Because of the active-passive nature of our controllers, we support non-disruptive upgrades, right? We upgrade the passive controller. It's just like we'll push the software update, which you'll be able to see in the StorSimple manager. And just like you update your Windows, your laptops, you could do a similar update for the StorSimple array. We upgrade the passive controller, do automatic failover, and then upgrade the net new passive controller. That's how we ensure there is no disruption to the application or users. And we have customers who have done it on peak Monday mornings and have been very happy with the non-disruptive upgrade component. Networking, this is nothing but a best practice slide. There's been a lot of questions on iSCSI. How do you separate the interfaces? We have four NICs in the controllers. So what customers are typically doing, they separate out two NICs for iSCSI work traffic and two NICs going into Azure for the cloud traffic. And then leverage MPIOs on the host side to ensure if a NIC failure or a path failure happens, there is no disruption to the application or user. So this is just a best practice. And like I was talking, the only port we need open to talk to Azure is port 443. So typically that is open because of your WAN traffic, and no changes are needed from a networking standpoint to implement this solution. So this is... There is this local and geo redundant feature set of Azure, all right? This is where any component, it depends. When you're creating a storage account, which I'll show you in a minute, you have the ability to decide should it be local redundant or geo redundant. What that means is, do you want Azure to asynchronously replicate your entire data set from one Azure data center to the other data center? So for example, the West Coast data center in US will replicate to the East data center, and the North will replicate to South. And we have data centers now in ME also, Amsterdam replicating to the other location. What we do is, for every blob or any component that is moved into Azure, and this could be with Store Simple or without Store Simple, we make 3 copies in one data center. And if you have enabled the geo-replication tag, then we will asynchronously make another 3 copies at no extra cost in the secondary data center, right? The Store Simple SKU is geo-redundant enabled by default. So you, for the same price point through Store Simple, you are getting 6 copies of your data set. For some reason, there was a failure in Azure. Leveraging the most current copy, we rebuild all the other damaged copies or corrupted copies automatically, right? So it's part of the Azure capability to build your data set with the correct latest copy that is available within Azure. We do failover. So let's say if there was a site failure, we will automatically failover the entire data center from the West Coast to the East Coast, right? And it would be zero disruption from an application or anything that you would notice if the entire site has gone down. It's an automatic failover that is triggered from the Azure component. So how does automatic tiering happen, right? This is the brain, and I would say this is one slide which basically is the IP of Store Simple Array, right? Initially, a fresh new appliance shows up, an array shows up, the entire data set, the SSD is empty, the HDD is empty. So let's assume this is the SSD view, right, where you start moving the data. You start migrating some data, let's say file share workload, we start filling up the SSD space. Until it reaches the low threshold mark, we are just doing deduplication, compression, or depending on at what layer that data set is, that's all we are working on. Right now, the archival component hasn't kicked in, or the archival flag has not kicked in. As users access more data, they modify more data, they migrate more data, at some point, you will start to see that we are reaching that lower and higher threshold limits on the SSD or HDD, either one. That's when we start to identify what is that non-working set data. What did the user migrate, which he or she has not accessed, or the application has not accessed, and identify something what we call is the old data set. The key thing to note here is, from a user or the application standpoint, they still see their F drive or their share path, and no changes happen from a user visibility or data access standpoint. What we start doing is we start spilling that old data to the next tier. The reason we keep that lower and higher threshold empty always, as you can see, is because of a sudden migration that you might do, or a user might do some query. We want to keep some buffer space available. So that's where the low and the high threshold of 94% is what is for 8000 series and 84% for the 7000 series, where after which we start migrating from SSD to HDD and from HDD into Azure. That way we guarantee the performance is available, a huge data migration that comes in can be accessed. And if a user is trying to do a restore, for example, he's trying to bring back 10 gigs or 1 terabyte of data set back, we have enough space available to mount a snapshot, restore it back, and have that capacity available for doing restores also. So this is the key intelligence that lets us do automatic tiering and present you the archival solution without you having to learn a archival software or an archival storage system that you need to buy. This is how we make Azure our archival storage and migrate your terabytes and petabytes of data into Azure. The deduplication, what we essentially do is we maintain the map. It's a iSCSI SAN. It's a 64K block that comes and hits the Store Simple solution. What we do is, for every block, we start building our own hash keys, and we build a what we call is a metadata map. The SSD is broken down into two tiers. One is just raw storage, And in the other half of SSD, that's why we have left in this slide, we have left the HDD empty because the deduplication is happening at the SSD layer. This is how we guarantee the performance, because as new data is coming in or being read, we will match it against this hash table or the metadata map that we have, see if the block exists, we update our references, and then read or write that new data, right? If the block already exists, we just discard and update the pointers. This is how we are saving tons of time while doing data migration, and it giving you much more local capacity. That's how we are saying you can easily see 3x to 13x is what I've seen dedupe and compression ratios for our existing customers. And hence that the sizing chart was showing you that 3x, 5x number. So now that is the other benefit. It comes part of the solution. There is no extra licensing or that you need to purchase to enable this feature. It's enabled by default. Same thing, compression. Now, dedupe was happening as the SSD layer. We take that data set, and once it hits the high water mark, we start tearing into HDD. In the HDD is where we start doing the lossless compression, and the type of compression we do is the deflate compression. So this is where now all your data set sitting in HDD is fully deduped and compressed and available for your users to access. I will reiterate again, being a block level device through the Windows Server, the user or the application is still seeing F drive. All this complexity is hidden within the solution itself and nothing being broadcasted to the app owner or the user. This is the most important thing, and every enterprise customer of mine has asked me this, and that is why Thomas is here also, and he'll talk more about the compliance they bring with Store Simplification. But what does Store Simple do in terms of encryption, right? Any data or any backup leaving Store Simple array moving into Azure is encrypted. You as a customer hold the encryption key. And we leverage AES 256 encryption, which is the highest military grade encryption available at that point when we were developing. And is transferred, only the encrypted data is transferred into Azure. So if somebody had to go to your storage account, open it, they will see fingerprints only, and they won't see your raw files. So if you think about the security that Store Simple provides, number one, your data is converted into blocks, right? Because it being iSCSI SAN, your data is converted to iSCSI blocks. To that, we start doing deduplication and compression. So your data set is further garbled because of the inline dedupe and compression we do. And then we take that data set and move it into Azure by applying the encryption key that you provide. So somebody will have to reverse engineer all those components to actually get a handle of your data set. Apart from all this, Azure has its own security, right? You can do role-based access control, login password, auditing, who gets access to what. All that can be done, which is a separate login and password that your admins have right to. And that is how your data set in Azure is fully encrypted and protected through this technology. And that's why we've been able to break into healthcare industry, legal industry, and certain government verticals also are using the solution. And this is the animation of combining all the three, where the IT admin starts migrating data into Store Simple solution. It leverages the 256-bit keys that you provide, migrates the data in flight over HTTPS into Azure. And this is the complete summary of how secure data set is. So let's talk about the Store Simple Manager, right? This is the first component that we launched. And what it allows you to do is simplify management. It's giving you nothing but centralized management for all your devices. The thing you can see is the Store Simple virtual appliance also. So you could have two or three physical appliances across your data centers and 10 or 20 of these virtual instances of StorSimple running in Azure. All that could be easily managed through the StorSimple manager. All it needs is nothing but a registration key. At the time of creation, and this is the workflow that I'm going to walk you through. I know there was a question on, are you going to show a portal from one of our existing customers for the 8000 series? This is what it looks like. You can see the StorSimple service in the left column. And what are you doing here is creating a service in Azure portal for StorSimple. Once you create a service, there is a registration key that you can go and request for. The green box is where you can automatically decide to create a storage account. That is the storage account, or think about the login and password that we need to map StorSimple device to a particular storage account. So you can automatically create that storage account while building this service, or you can go back to the Azure portal, go under storage accounts, and create your own naming convention, whatever you like, and go build it. This is how we know to which Azure data center should StorSimple write into. Think about this as your locker in a bank, and you are key saying migrate all my data set into this locker. So that's what that create storage account is all about. Once you create the service in Azure portal, you could go to that service and say, give me the registration key. So it creates this binary, I believe it's a 32-bit or 64-bit key, which when you log through a serial console in StorSimple, this is where we'll ask you to punch it in. And this is how we are trying to give you more security, more control on not anybody can register any device to your account, and they should have those service registration key and data encryption key, after which they'll be able to map it to your Azure storage account. So that is how you can even control that not all admins are just registering random devices, or even, for instance, we've been asked the question, now I could create 100, 200 of the StorSimple virtual appliances, and how do I control that? So this is where you will need that registration key early on to map it to your Azure portal. So it's pretty straightforward. It's a 3 to 4 step process in which now, once you power on the device and you create your service in Azure, you can have them talking to each other within minutes. I was doing a proof of concept, and it was my first install. I'll be honest, I've been out of doing installs for a while. It took me 10 minutes to do the installation at a customer site after racking and stacking it, and they were able to connect into Azure and start migrating data. How can they start migrating data? So what are the next steps that you as a user will need to do? So think about volume container is the pool at which we do deduplication compression, right? So now what you're doing is you are mapping that storage account. This is where you see the storage account, select a storage account. I don't know if it's clear up there, but the second row where now you're saying, okay, my device is online. This is the storage account you need to map to and start helping me create a volume. And the volume could be anywhere from 10 gigs to 1 terabyte that you can map from device into Azure. So what are our recommendations on mapping volume containers, right? Because the bucket at which you can restore now is at a volume level, volume container level, right? This is what we have seen customers, depending on the workload they create, or depending on the application or data set, they create a volume container and they start creating individual volumes underneath that. So what I've seen a lot of customers do, for example, in the file share use case, they create a file share volume container. Within that, they start creating shares for HR, finance, engineering, and create individual file share. So when they want to restore, request for a file comes in, they create a volume and restore that back immediately. So what kind of backups do we provide, right? We have two kinds of backups that we provide. So we talked about how do we do primary performance because of the SSDs and the metadata mapping inline dedupe compression. The archival we do because of the lower and higher threshold watermarks. The third feature set is backup. We have something called local snapshot, which is nothing but pointers to where your data resides. And those local snapshots are residing on store simple array. The second is what we like to call is cloud snapshot. Your data half could be on the appliance, half could be in Azure. Through cloud snapshot, what we do is we take the entire data set and move it into Azure. So that way, if the data center goes down or the appliance goes down, or your application gets corrupted or somebody deletes something by mistake, you have a truly independent copy now available into Azure. So how do we do it? I'll get to that in a while. Before that, I just wanted to talk about the virtual appliance. What are the use cases we see out there that our customers are using? One is for complete failover, where they want to ensure that Azure is their DR side. A lot of consolidating their disaster DR data center. And for some of the applications, or most of them, they are looking at Azure to be their DR data center. So that is where they are leveraging complete failover from the data center into Azure data center, or their center into Azure. The second is cloning. This gives you capability to test out disaster recovery. How many of DR actually on a 3 month or a 6 month schedule? Few hands, right? This three hands I saw in this room. So you now have that capability to actually test out your cloning. Create the entire data center, even Saturday, Sunday, ensure your users, the application is online, and then delete it off. This gives you a lot of flexibility in ensuring your data set is available, it's not corrupted, because what we have seen vendors who have migrated to the solution say, I went to restore my data from tape and the tapes were corrupted, or my library was not up to date with the existing tape infrastructure that I have. So all that can be taken care of through the virtual appliance. The virtual appliance is nothing but something similar. So what the first use case we're seeing there are dev test and file share workloads being migrated there. Customers purchase a Windows 2012 virtual instance through iSCSI, connect to the store simple virtual appliance and get access to the asset. So it's pretty simple as spinning up two virtual machines, connect iSCSI and getting access to your data set. So how easy is it to create a virtual instance? Exactly same step. It's just like renting another virtual machine. Go to the portal, look under virtual machines, you will see an instance available and they'll let you purchase. You can also create your virtual network. This is around questions saying, can I integrate with ExpressRoute? Or can I have point-to-point VPN? Or build my own virtual network? Yes, StoreSimple does work with that. That way, you can separate out the iSCSI traffic and the cloud traffic. Networks you create, you will be able to map it to the StoreSimple virtual instance within the Azure portal. So with that introduction, jump into data protection and disaster recovery, the last section on how do we do it, right? This is best practice. Right? Most of the customers for short-term recovery or a file or a database that was deleted within a day or few days or a week, they rely heavily on local snapshots. They do daily schedules for local snapshots so they can just mount the snapshot, restore a file or a folder that they need to. For long-term or for disaster recovery needs, they enable the cloud snapshot. Typical schedule of cloud snapshot that I've seen is weekly and monthly. They take every week, they take a cloud snapshot to ensure that the entire data set is protected within Azure, and same thing monthly. So it's a rolling schedule. You can configure it, you can edit it. Just like any other storage vendor provides you the capabilities, you configure it, enable, disable policies, modify them. All that can be done through the Azure portal. So local snapshots, the metadata map that I spoke about during dedupe, right? So the volume consists of two components, the metadata and your actual data set in terms of blocks. So what we refer to them as data chunks internally, right? Engineering lingo is talk about data chunks. So when you migrate your data set, we break that data into blocks, 64K blocks, I'm going to say. And all we're doing is that metadata is referencing to those original blocks. So the volume metadata will always be pointing to the most current block. Now, let's say you schedule a snapshot. We will, and no data change happen. We will only reference those same blocks, A, B, C, D, which exists in volume metadata. So the question often comes, is local snapshot consuming more and more space out of my 15 terabyte and 40 terabyte? No. All we are doing is we are updating pointers and references. So now, for instance, before your next snapshot, let's say you decide and go change the A block. You have modified a file, a paragraph, whatever, that translates to the AA block getting modified. During the next snapshot now, you can see that the old block got moved to snapshot one, but the volume metadata is now pointing to A prime. So now snapshot two is now looking at that new volume metadata, and the actual data set component is not being modified. And that is why we are not replicating your data chunks. We are just updating our references metadata map. So now as you progress and you modify more and more blocks, the original blocks or the modified blocks are mapped through volume metadata, but your snapshot is pointing to the original block at that given instance in time. So we call it copy reference on write. CRO is the technology that we use for our snapshot. Now, into the next level, how do we migrate this data set into Azure, right? Let's say your data is SSD and HDD and nothing is tiered into Azure. When we take the first cloud snapshot, think about it as mirroring the entire data set along with your volume metadata, so that glow, the map is nothing but metadata map and your entire chunks are the blocks. With the first cloud snapshot, so now if the appliance goes down or data center goes down, you have a truly independent backup sitting in Azure that you can restore in Azure or on a physical appliance. As you start accessing more and more data set, let's say you create a new block in SAS, which is that orange block that just showed up, and a new block that shows up in Azure. Because somebody modified or somebody wrote a new data, we had that existing blocks because of our dedupe algorithm. We update the pointer and just say, okay, that block is already existing in Azure. That is the intelligence we create stored within our map. So now during, we will only push the incremental changes which are not in Azure. So the new metadata map and the transfer over in Azure. The purple block exists in Azure, so we don't go and duplicate that data set. This is how we save you money, provide 50% saving that we have seen from our existing customers. These are only incremental backups for life. So now the question comes, how do I identify what my Azure will be in a month or in 3 months if I keep taking snapshot a day? Is it better now? Okay. This is breaking up, they're saying. Okay.
Sorry, there's a backup microphone hardwired on the desk for you to use, please, sir.
This one? Hello? Okay. So just back on the cloud snapshot. Thank you for that. Only incremental changes get pushed into Azure, and hence our backups are much faster. Also, compared to any other backup software that you would be leveraging. What we also have, the question often comes up, file share, then SQL workloads that we host on this, how do you ensure consistency? So we have a snapshot manager. So you could do all the local snapshot, cloud snapshot, the disaster recovery from Azure. But if you have an application which integrates with VSS, you could install the snapshot manager on your SQL server or your file share. That integrates with VSS and gives you application consistent snapshot. So now you don't need any other backup software for your applications, but you could take them through the snapshot manager. Same thing for Hyper-V. You could take the Hyper-V instance, and we do integrate with the Hyper-V VSS writer also to back up your VHDs if you want to. So disaster recovery, what do you need, right? Really simple. And this is why I was saying now you can go back and test out your disaster recovery. One, through your appliance, you need to ensure that you have taken cloud snapshots, right, on a scheduled basis or manually, whatever you decide to. Secondly, a physical virtual instance or a second store simple device in a different location is all you need. The device will use the same registration key or the identity of the primary appliance. So it gets access to your encryption key, your login password to the storage account, visibility into the metadata map that is available through Cloud Snapshot in Azure. So with that identity being transferred, now once a data center goes down, you will be able to access your entire data set in a physical location or in Azure. You could easily download, let's say, the SQL workload on a physical appliance and host your file share in Azure. So you can decide on which application goes where during disaster recovery. Or you could spin up a virtual instance for every application. You can say, I want 5 virtual instances, 1 for SQL, 1 for file share, and other dev test environments. So all that flexibility is now available to you. The key thing to note, why our restores are much faster, is when you mount a cloud snapshot, we only pull down the metadata information. So let's say you were restoring or doing a full-on DR into a secondary data center with a physical appliance. And let's assume you had a 1 petabyte of data set in Azure. The question is, man, it's going to take me months, or I don't have bandwidth. Bandwidth in Europe is really expensive, and we can't afford to have a higher pipe. What we do is we only pull down the metadata map that gives you visibility into your entire data set. So you can see your C drive, F drive show up, and then your users can go online, your application goes online, and when they start accessing a data set, a file, or a VHD, we will only hydrate that data set and rebuild our working set. We are not going to drain the entire 1 petabyte down the pipe and wait for that and then say, okay, now your DR is complete. Once we fetch the metadata map, we are online and ready to go. That is the beauty, and that's why so far we have got great feedback on restores because of that. That's how easy it is to pull a single file. Because I've seen customers use backup software, they need to restore the entire tar file, a full tar file, for restoring an individual file or a folder. And this is where now it gives you capability to do a file level restore or the entire DR just by restoring the metadata map. So let's quickly get into use cases and workloads, and then Thomas could come up. This is where we think it's the sweet spot, right? File shares, SharePoint, archival, SQL workloads, dev test environments. Think about applications which has a working set identity, right? High transactional database, right, is a classic example I like to give. Is it's not a good fit for the solution. Reason being, you could have a massive database or a workload, some sitting on local, some in Azure. A user or a developer could run a massive query, and we are trying to fetch some data from Azure because that is part of the query, while to make space on the hardware, we are pushing some data back in Azure. So that loop could go on. The query is going to finish, but the SLA or the time you were expecting would depend on your bandwidth, how large was the query, and things like that.
That's why if you look at all the applications listed here, they have the concept of working set, right? File shares, classic example. Archivals, write once, never read kind of workloads. So those is what we have seen our customers across the globe leverage. We have seen a lot of SQL being moved now with the 8000 series. We are seeing more and more of SQL workloads moved onto Store Simple through that. So what was the environment before, right? The customers have at least two of the ones on a file share workload. We have seen customers having two or all of the storage systems. And with Store Simple now, we have simplified. They're just using one system for all their file share needs and archival needs. And with that, they've simplified the architecture. It's the time savings has been tremendous. So apart from the ROI, because Azure being cheap compared to the traditional storage, Azure storage, customers are seeing the ROI along with huge time savings because now the complexity in managing storage devices has gone down. And that is true for all the workloads that we touch upon. SharePoint, same thing. We do have our own blob separation technology, EBS, RBS, I'm sure file streams of the world, those who deal with SharePoint have heard of. What it does is all these blob separation technology is only the metadata gets committed to your SQL database, and the actual content, the file you upload in SharePoint, is nothing but a file share data or blob data in SharePoint world. So now customers are creating small database, they're managing small database, hosting on Store Simple, and also the blob data on Store Simple. We back it up into Azure, and they can do file level restores if they decide to. We do have single file level restore capabilities available for SharePoint also. So we have a utility which you can install on SharePoint farm, and through which will look into your local snapshot or cloud snapshot and let you restore an individual file if you need to from your SharePoint workload. Virtual machines, this is pretty interesting, and this is I would say, it depends on what application is running within your virtual machine, right? Again, likes of high transactional database, we tend to stay away from dev test environments or your engineering environments are perfect fit to move it on Store Simple. What we have seen is VMware, for those who have VMware environments, there is a storage DRS technology available also. We have seen in that technology, you can identify and mention that if my virtual machine needs certain IOPS, run it on this storage system. If it needs so-and-so IOPS, run it on this storage system. So you can define policies, and based on the IOPS, it will migrate those virtual machines from your tier one storage onto Store Simple. The advantage you get by migrating on Store Simple is you can have the entire VHD or VMDK backed up in Azure and spin up that virtual machine from the local or cloud snapshot. And lastly, on SQL workload. So this is a new workload that we are getting into because of the higher local capacity, the performance improvements in 8000 series, and with the VSS integration, the SQL writers we have, we are able to back up and leverage the SQL workload also on Store Simple. So the closing thoughts I have is, you will see the after. I went through three or four use cases now, and you can see the architecture for Store Simple is same. The way you manage it for different applications, the way you configure volumes, the way you bring them online, and the flexibility Store Simple provides of moving your applications from on-premise to Azure or back, vice versa, you get that flexibility, ROI, and time savings. So I'm going to be around for Q&A later on once Thomas finishes. With that, I'm going to invite Thomas to teach us Eternity solution.
Thank you, Ajay. First the test. Can you hear me? Good. Perfect. I'd like to welcome you also from my side from Eternity. My name is Thomas Käsheimer, and I'm responsible especially for the sales and partner management of our company in Germany, Switzerland, and Austria. It's a great honor for us to be here today that Microsoft invites us to give you an introduction to our solution ICAS, which can help you to archive data compliant. Before I introduce you to Eternity and what we exactly do, your question could be could be the advantage for me, because I've seen all advantages of StoreSimple. But I'm convinced that in some of the StoreSimple projects and also in your environment, an issue will come up, and that's for some of you it's a special issue, but some of you will know that very well, and that's the issue of compliant archiving. Now maybe you have a big question mark. What does compliant archiving mean? If you store data, there's some of the data who has a high value for the company, which has to be stored for 10 years, 20 years, or even longer because of a lot of regulations and laws which you find worldwide. And the big challenge is to integrate that data into your applications like enterprise content management, document management, and to get an overall solution who is also certified, for example, by your auditors from KPMG and so on, and is certified for the applications will connect to this compliant archive. And so that's also an additional issue which can be solved with our solution combined with StoreSimple, that you don't have the disadvantage to run dedicated archiving appliances on site besides your StoreSimple. And how that works, I will show you now. Let me give you a short overview about our company first. As I said, we are completely specialized in compliant archiving. We make your data tamper-proof. The company was established in 2004, and until now, we have 600 customers worldwide in different industries and markets, from public customers, healthcare, pharma, to the financial services. You find everything in our customer database. And I will show you our core product, ICAS, the Eternity compliant archive software, which is patented in Europe and also in the USA. Okay, let's look on the challenge. What is the challenge with the compliance I talk about? As I said, you have various legal regulations worldwide, and in the core requirements, it's very similar. It's always the same. You have to store data tamper-proof in a way that it cannot be deleted within within a special retention period, and you must be able to migrate the data to future platforms, because today you have a lifetime of your storage for 3-5 years in that period. But after that time, you have to store data for 10, 20 years, and that means you have to migrate your data more than 2 or 3 times within their life cycle. And besides that, tax regulations, who normally everybody has to solve, there are also some industry-specific demands like SEC 70A4 in the banking. That means every financial services customer who is serving customers from the USA or working in the USA has to solve this regulation, which is one of the strictest in archiving. Or other example, if you have your automotive customer, you have to solve product liability. That means you have to show in a lawsuit, for example, that you've done everything right within your production or your supply chain. And for that, you need also valid data where you can show it was not manipulated in the 10 years and it's the original data. And sometimes, which an issue will come up more and more, is that the companies have internal demands. That means they have data who is of a high value for themselves, and they want to protect it from deletion, destruction, theft, and so on. You know, these requirements are not new, and also Eternity doesn't invented it to sell some software. It has to be solved in the past too. And now, everyone will give you an idea what have the companies done in the past. That was they put a dedicated archiving appliance in their environment. Some of them you maybe knew, like EMC Centera, NetApp SnapLock, and many others. And I will show you now how to replace that solution, because your target is to have one consolidated storage who can solve your all requirements. But besides that target, there are also a lot of disadvantages that these solutions have, and that you can eliminate combined with ICAS and StorSimple. And the disadvantages are normally you have a very strong vendor lock. That means if you migrate the data from one within the same vendor or within the same technology, that's no problem. But when you choose maybe in 5 or 10 years to use another solution, it can be very difficult and very cost incentive. If you don't want to migrate and you stay with your solution, the next then you have another disadvantage. You have to rebuy the whole archiving with every hardware life cycle, and that means your tamper-proof data gives you more and more costs into your budget. And like Jay said before, you have the issue with the management, and a lot of these hardware appliances are proprietary and separated systems, and for them you need, in the most cases, special skills. You need external help, and that's also something that a lot of companies want to reduce. And the next, last but not least, extension of additional archiving space can cause high costs. You know, we have a big data growth also in that field. And so it's not fine if you have to buy expensive extensions for every new terabyte you have. Good. And that's this issue gets more and more important. That's something we see. And but it doesn't always fit with the budget limitation. What are the expectations to the IT department? They have to make the data high available. They have to do the data migration in the back end. Nobody wants to know anything about it. And they have to manage it. And that doesn't always fit with this target of cost efficiency. And so I will show you now the solution, how you can combine everything with StorSimple. Okay, what is ICAS? ICAS is the name, like I said, for Eternity Compliant Archive Software. It's a protection for your structured application data, which comes from ECM system, enterprise content management, from document management, and so on. You have an integrated retention management and the warm functionality. That means the data cannot be deleted within the retention period. We are certified by KPMG for the different laws that I mentioned, and also for special regulations like SEC 78.4 and some others. And that you can integrate this data into your applications. We also certified modern 80 ISVs, which you know from the DMS and ECM market. The list is growing and growing, but if you have a solution which is not listed at the moment, that's also no problem, because we use industry standards, which I will explain in the next slides, to connect to every application if you want to. And so with StoreSimple, we see us as a perfect replacement. Now your question is, how works it, and what I have to do technical to implement this. Now let's look on the whole solution. You have the Azure Cloud, you have your internal applications which delivers the data, and then you have the StoreSimple appliance. And what we do is we are just a layer in between. That means a software based on a Windows server. You can use Windows 2008 or the new 2012. In the most cases, we are installed as a virtual machine in Hyper-V, but also all other hypervisors are supported. And we take the data via a SIFS share we provide to the application. But if you want, you can also have an NFS share. And we put the data in a special and patented container format with a 512-bit hash code, which contains the retention and a checksum to make to have a valid data. And so that's the whole solution. And with this container format, it's very easy to migrate also in the future from one platform to the other. That means we deliver you migration tools where you have a protocol migration when something's changing in the backend in the future. Okay, let's look more detailed at the technology. As I said, this is the patented container technology with the 512-bit hash code. We are based completely on industry standards, nothing proprietary, and it's very easy to manage. You have, on one hand, you have a GUI, which is very easy to understand. On the other hand, we have a documentation how to manage it via PowerShell scripts. You are very flexible in that. One of the features is also very interesting, I think, for some of you. The question is, what should I do with the data when the retention period is over? And at the moment, a lot of these hardware archiving appliances, they don't give you the possibility to delete the data at any time. You can't delete it, or they just using some tricks where you don't see it. After deleting, you don't see the file in the file system, but in the backend, it's physically still there. In our solution, the file will be definitely deleted when the deletion comes from the application and the retention period is over. And we can override it from 3 times up to 21 times, and that's compliant with the requirements of the U.S. Department of Defense. The reason why we do it, you can do it in that way, is that nobody can recreate any data after you have deleted it. When you think about the picture before, you see we are the layer between applications and the storage, and then you know it's very important to have this layer running, because without the ICAS layer, you don't have access to all your applications don't have access to the archiving data. But that's also no problem. We use standard high availability functions of the hypervisors. but also supporting a Microsoft cluster if you choose to do it with an hardware server on site. As I said, the interfaces to the applications are TIFFs or NFS share, which gives you very easy access. And for some applications, we provide a web service API. This is interesting when the lawyer or somebody within the company says there should be no access over and share to the data, only via the applications. Okay, now we talked about, I mentioned a lot of this container format, and in the next slide I will give you an overview what's behind this container. And here you see how does it work and what is containing. That is the first one, the data itself. If you want additional metadata, which is given from the ECM system, and timestamp, when was the data written to the archive, the retention, how long should I store it, and the checksum, with that we can prove the integrity of the data. And like you see, we write the object to the backend, and the ECM system can access it over the share, or like in this picture, via an object ID, which works within this web service API. Okay, now you heard some technical stuff. Let's summarize what are your benefits. Benefits is you have a minimization of company risks because you have a better protection for important data with the highest security industry standards at the market, because this 512-bit hashing is one of the securest at the moment. You get more flexibility because ICOS adapts to your infrastructure, not the other way. And you get a higher availability also of the archiving data, because you can virtualize the archive and make it backend data migration without downtimes, like I mentioned, with this costless delivered migrations tools. And at all, you get a lower TCO because you can use now your centralized storage infrastructure with StorSimple also for the compliance. You get an investment protection because the model is built on in that way that you don't have to rebuy a license or something with every new hardware lifecycle. We are implemented in the model of Microsoft, and that means you don't have all these new costs all 3 or 5 years. And at all, you get cost-efficient and calculable migrations because you can do it on your own and with delivered tools from us. Summarized, now for the partners in here, would be interesting which customers are interesting for the solution, because it can you enable also to sell StorSimple at all. Customers are normally more than 200 employees, customers from the healthcare, in high regulated markets, but at all you can say every customer who uses an ERP system or an DMS system should have a solution like that. And as I said, you will find a lot of this hardware appliances that I talked about, maybe you that you can replace there. And for the customers in here, you can maybe check if you're on the list and think about how this issue is solved in your company. Okay. Now you know how it works, now you know which benefits you get, but now is the question, how can I change from the existing archiving appliance which you maybe have to this solution? And that's also very, in some cases, very easy. With that migration tool, iCopy, I talked about, You are able also to migrate directly file share based solutions like NetApp SnapBlock, like all the optical jukeboxes, directly to ICAS. We take out the retention and all you need, and in the best case, we are shown a via store simple to the application, like it's still the NetApp in the back end, for example, and the migration time depends on number and size of the objects and the performance of the environment. That's sometimes fast, sometimes not so fast. Okay, but some of that solutions have not a file share they provide. They are connected via an API. Solutions you find there are, for example, EMC Centera Hitachi HCAP or the discontinued IBM DR550 or Information Archive. And in that case, we can't use directly iCopy and put the data to ICAS. In that case, you have to migrate via the applications. That means you have to involve your application provider or your partner to put the data out of the Centera and write it to the new solution. But if you have a case like this, you can talk with us because we have very good connections to a lot of ISVs and their partners, and also we are working at the moment with a partner on migration services we can provide for the most common solutions, for example, like OpenText or FileNet and so on. Yeah. Technically, I will just give you an overview also about the precondition, but that's not rocket science. It's very easy. You need a dedicated Windows server. If it's physical or virtualized, doesn't matter. And you need the newest updates on Windows and the installed .NET framework 4.5.1. A running Internet Information Server, which is normally configured by the ICAS installation itself. And you have some hardware requirements to solve, but as you can see, these are not high requirements. But when we talk about 100 or 200 terabytes, we have to you have to talk to us, and we give you a recommendation what you should install. Okay, now we see the whole solution, but you can get a better overview. I will give you a practical example. And for example, healthcare customer. That means a hospital who wants to archive his radiographs, his ECM data, and who has more than one application. They have very high regulations. They have a high cost pressure, and mostly these existing solutions. And common applications in that field are, for example, Agfa Healthcare, GE, Sectra, Visus. These are the PACS systems. And now give you an example about a real project. We have a customer with existing archiving data, 50 terabyte, a yearly growth, which is not small, different applications, and installed archiving solution which have to be replaced. Now the customer can choose two options. He stays at the current solution, or he chooses a new one. When he chooses the old solution, he have to rebuy the licenses and also the big growth of the archiving can cause additional costs. And he has a virtual infrastructure with a common hypervisor, and that combination is really a high potential for savings with an alternative solution with us and Store Simple. And how this can look, I will show you now. Here you have the three layers. It's very easy. He could implement ICAS into his virtual environment, which he uses already. Then he has a virtual machine more. That's all to do. We have the certified connections to the applications, and then writing the container files to the store symbol, which make a transparent tiering also to the Azure cloud. Summarized, the advantages are for the customer, he gets a direct and easy migration without external help, because NetApp we can directly migrate with the iCopy tool. He gets a high availability of also his archiving data, and he has a licensing model who is I think very alone in the market, because we have licenses who are not depending on the volume. We're just depending on the used CPU sockets, and that gives you something like an archiving flat rate, you can say. Okay, that was the overview from my side. If you have any more questions, I will be here after the session, and thank you for your time.
And just a closing comment to me, I would highly recommend Friday morning, try to attend this session. B350, one of our existing customers from UK, is going to talk about their deployment with StoreSimple, the good and the bad experience they have seen. So I could create many marketing slides, but it's good to understand the real world story on the advantages they're seeing, how easy it was to implement. Our emails are down there in case you have any questions, comments, or anything more you need, either from Eternity or StoreSimple, and definitely do reach out. And the standard, and don't forget to do the evaluation. Yeah, please. Any questions, we are going to be here. So thank you for your time.